Good morning to you. As you can see from the overhead, today is not a day where it is all right for you to fall asleep on me. I want you to know that. When I first started preaching, one of the first churches I worked with, there was an older lady there who almost every Sunday morning fell asleep on me. And it was always midway through. And the problem was when she eventually cocked her head back and started snoring. That's kind of when it became a little bit of a distraction. Until then, you know, it was just like, and you know, it was always set near the front and everything instead of the back. And so it was always noticeable and all that. And I have learned, though, not to really take it personal when people fall asleep on me. My kids have been doing that for years, basically. And come find out, though, with that lady in particular, she took medicine. And during that time she took medicine, she always fell asleep. And you know, I don't think she was wrong because of the medicine she was taking and everything. Because I do remember on Wednesday evenings and Sunday nights, she didn't fall asleep on me. And that's when she wasn't taking her medicine. So, you know, sleep. I don't know if you've ever heard a sermon about this. In fact, I've never preached a sermon on sleeping before. But, you know, there are numerous reasons physically and medically why sometimes we can't get the right amount of sleep. And so this is not an exhaustive and hopefully not an exhausting sermon on sleep. And no, this is not going to address the physical concepts of, you know, why am I not sleeping at night or whatever. That's I'm not going to address that. But I do think at the same time that even though this lesson is not contrary to any kind of advice, maybe from a medical professional, God created us with the ability to sleep, and there is a sense where sometimes reasons for too much sleep or a lack of sleep just might be a spiritual issue than just a physical one. When I was younger, I often thought as a teenager, staying up late was kind of cool. And so there is a sense where as a kid, you know, going to bed early was oppressive. Now I look forward to going to bed early. I think it's oppressive if you have to stay up late, you know. But, you know, we all have different thoughts about sleep at times. Also, when I was a young adult, when I was in preaching school in particular, I thought it was actually kind of noble to not get much sleep at night. And I actually thought I could do that. Why? Because one time I remember hearing in class about a preacher by the name of Alexander Campbell who got up at 4 o'clock every morning and studied for 2 hours before his 6 o'clock breakfast and before everything else, basically. And I thought, you know what? And then I had a teacher in preaching school as well. He was one of the few people I've ever met in my life that literally he could go to bed at 11:30 at night and then wake up 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And he's fine. He could get 4 hours of sleep at night oftentimes and, you know, and he could function throughout the day. And, well, that's not me. I'm more normal, and I'm sure you are too. There are a few people that I think can do that. But when you think about the concept of getting up early and stuff like that, I remember reading historically. I'm just going to share with you some things. I remember reading historically. There was a denominational clergy in the 1800s. And this one particular preacher came out of this denominational church. But anyhow, this was a denominational group that actually selected where preachers should go preach for various of their congregations and stuff. And so you didn't get a pick as a preacher where you went. But anyhow, they also made rules for the preacher, but I remember reading one of the rules that this denominational church made, though, was that it is up to the conscience of a preacher as to whether or not he should wake up at 5 o'clock or sleep until 6. However, they said, it must be noted, any preacher who sleeps past 6 o'clock, it is very shameful. Very shameful. Keep in mind, too, this was before electricity. So when the sun went down, it was tempting to go ahead and go to bed. So I'm sure they were probably getting the right amount of sleep that we're getting a lot of times. But, man, when you think about the concept of sleep and when you should get up and stuff like that, it's not noble, by the way, to get 3 or 4 hours of sleep at night. In fact, it's bad on our health. You know, from newborn to older adults, everyone needs different hours of sleep. Newborns need 14 to 17. Infants need 12 to 15. Toddlers need 11 to 14. Think about teenagers. Teenagers need easily 8 to 10. I don't think too many teenagers get that much sleep at night. Young adults, 7 to 9. And even as an older person, they recommend 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night for your own health. And God, by the way, God designed us to sleep. In fact, let me just say this. If you think it's noble to only get 3 hours of sleep at night, then that's actually hindering your ability to think and concentrate, problem solve, to learn, to make good decisions. If you're lacking sleep, how is that affecting your mood, your emotions, your mood disorders, depression, anxiety, and stress? Because a lack of sleep affects all these things, by the way. It affects your immune system. You know, lack of sleep is linked to a bunch of chronic health conditions, right? And so, in fact, good sleep is linked to living longer even, all right? And so, by the way, I'm not trying to shame you if you struggle with sleeping at night. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But when I think about sleeping, by the way, nobody's asleep yet, so we're good, okay? What does the Bible have to say about it? And here's what I want to do. I've got primarily 2 points this morning. The first point has to do with, let's just do some surveying, look at the scriptures in a very brief way of how the Bible addresses sleep in a few places, okay? And then I want to do the second point this morning of sleep is good, but why sometimes do we not sleep? What are some struggles we have to sleeping in? And at the same time, does the Bible provide, when it mentions or implies a struggle, does it have a solution? And you're going to find that actually it does. Well, let's consider the sleep from the scriptures as we kind of survey through the scriptures. One of the things I find actually in the Bible is sleep and good sleep, you'll find the Bible says, is actually a good thing. And let me just give you a few passages of scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Now, what's he talking about? In context, let me just mention this. In context, here's what's being discussed. Solomon is giving wisdom to the younger generations. And what he's saying here is, in chapter 3, follow God. Live for God. To really live a wise life is to commit and dedicate your life to living according to God's word and God's will. And when you do that, okay, there are all these benefits in your life. And that's what, you know, Proverbs chapter 3 is a chapter, it's an amazing chapter that gives all the benefits that you have in your life to following God and obeying God in your life. And one of those is, if you're right with God, when you go to bed at night, your sleep will be sweet. In other words, it's good, you're going to have some good sleep. And good sleep, the Bible, in other words, implies, is a good thing. Psalm 127 and verse 2 basically echoes a similar concept there. Well, let me give you another one. Here's something else that I found in the scriptures, okay? It is not wrong to lack sleep at times. In other words, last night, if you only got 4 hours of sleep, I don't want you to think, well, you're a sinner and you need to repent. I don't want you to think that. And by the way, sometimes a sleep disorder is not necessarily a sin problem, necessarily. We'll talk about that here in a second. But there are times in the Bible where individuals clearly got a lack of sleep at times. For instance, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, Jesus stayed up all night to pray. But let me ask you something from that text there, okay? Did Jesus stay up every night and pray all night every night? No, he did not. There was an occasion that Jesus did that, but he didn't do it every night. Jesus was human like the rest of us. He was hungry like the rest of us, and he needed sleep like the rest of us. Okay? But there are times he lacked sleep. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, by the way, the Bible also talks about how Jesus rose up early in the morning before anyone else to go pray. What's he doing? Well, maybe perhaps he's getting a lack of sleep to get up to go pray. Or how about in Acts chapter 20? I'll tell you something interesting. In Acts chapter 20, Paul, the early church got together on the first day of the week to worship God in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, okay? And Paul there is in Troas, all right? And something to keep in mind real quickly. You've often heard of the phrase, Paul continued his speech until midnight. Well, that's right here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And at the end of verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to bake bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And a lot of times when you read that passage, you may assume, well, it's 10:30 right now, midnight, buddy, that's a long sermon, right? No. The early church lived in Greek, Jewish, and Gentile culture. Sunday was not a day off of work. So when the early church got together to worship, it was either very early in the morning or after everybody got off work. Do you understand that? So this is in the evening. So yeah, maybe Paul did preach for 3 or 4 hours, okay? But you got to remember when the early church met. Yeah, that's something to keep in mind. And by the way, Monday's not a day off either. They got to get up in on Monday and go to work. But yet here's Paul preaching till midnight. And the interesting thing is, as you keep reading the text here, they pretty much stay up into the night, the church does, to speak with the Apostle Paul. Well, what's my point? Well, they stayed up late. They didn't get any sleep, if hardly any sleep at all. Acts 16, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God at midnight. They weren't getting much sleep that night. Proverbs 31 talks about the worthy woman rises early in the morning to work. And then also there are times in verse 18 where she stays up late to work. Now again, is that saying that the worthy woman in Proverbs 31 should never sleep? No, I think it's saying there are times she has to get up early and there are times she has to stay up late. And she's willing to do it because she has a good work ethic. Does that make sense? And so, you know, I don't want you to think that, well, the Bible teaches as Christians in order to be faithful, we have to get a few hours of sleep. That's not what's being said here. Because there are other times it is not wrong to sleep more than usual. You know, in Acts chapter 12, I'm just surveying the scriptures, so we're unfortunately not turning to all of these scriptures. Okay, in Acts chapter 12, I'll give you an example. Peter is, the next day, is going to be killed. And the interesting thing is, according to Acts chapter 12, at night, Peter is freed from prison. But you know what he's doing? He's asleep. I've often wondered about that. How can you, knowing the next day you're going to get killed, and God's not giving you indication that he's going to free you from prison. James is already, the apostle has already been killed. You're next up to be killed. Okay, and here he's asleep. What's interesting is, when he's freed from prison, he goes to the house of the mother of John Mark. And there are Christians there who are up into the night praying. So think of Peter is asleep. They're probably the ones he's praying for. And they're the ones up at night. You know, you think, well, maybe that should be the reverse, but it's not. And it's very odd and very interesting at the same time. And, you know, here you've got Peter asleep. And I often wondered if there were some Christians like, you know, Peter, you should be awake because Christians are praying for you. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm asleep. And I'm going to die and I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm good, you know. But there are times where, you know, for instance, when the disciples are out on the boat of the Sea of Galilee in Matthew 8, 24, there's a huge storm arising, and what's Jesus doing? He's beneath the boat, and he's sound asleep. Well, you shouldn't be sleeping at time. Don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus was tired, so he slept. The prophet Elijah was also one, a man who fell into a great depression and slept for days. As you go back and read 1 Kings 19, 1 Kings 19 is a great chapter on how to deal with depression, by the way. And it's amazing how God handles his depression. God allows him to sleep. In fact, he sleeps so long that He falls asleep. God has to wake him up, feed him, and he goes back to sleep. And God has to wake him up to feed him again. Those aren't just two-hour naps, by the way. Those are long, prolonged periods of sleep. And what's my point? My point is, there are times where it's not wrong to sleep. There are times it's not wrong to sleep more than usual. There are times, you know, sometimes laziness is associated with sleeping too much. And it's not that, you know, the Bible condemns getting the proper amount of sleep, but it's condemning the person who lays in bed all day, doesn't do anything. That's what it's condemning. So I want you to think about this really quickly. What at times in the Bible does it reveal, if I'm not sleeping at night, what is the problem here? Well, consider a few of them with me. The first one, and I hate to bring it to you, but the Bible is just gives the reality of it. Sometimes that's maybe just an indication we're old. Sometimes, and here's why I say that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon is talking about remembering in verse 1 the Creator in the days of your youth. You know, one of the important things to do when you're young is live for God. Don't forget God. Commit your life to God. Why? Because the day will come, and starting in verse 2, he starts talking about getting old. And what he uses is he uses some phrases that symbolize getting old. When it says, for instance, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened in the clouds, in the day, notice the keepers of the house tremble. And notice, and strong men bow down. What is he talking about? You become frail, you become weak, and your back leans over. When the grinders cease because they are few, you talk about losing teeth as you age. And notice, and that look through the window grows dim as you age, your eyesight, in other words, changes. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, you can't hear as well as you get older, right? Notice, in the midst of all of this, there is a phrase here that talks about sleep. When one rises up at the sound of a bird. Verse 4 is talking about, in other words, as you get older, the littlest thing can wake you up. And it's like, well, I'm up. I can't go back to sleep. And sometimes, again, as we age, I remember as a kid, man, I could sleep through a tornado. You know what I mean? Couldn't you? I could sleep through anything. You could pick me up and throw me outside, and I'd probably still stay asleep. Now, if it's 5 in the morning and I hear the birds outside, I'm up. That's what Solomon's talking about. As you get older, it seems to get harder to sleep. Now, keep in mind that this passage doesn't say you cannot sleep or anything like that, but he's just giving the reality of it, and maybe there's something that's causing that that could be addressed medically or whatever, but that's the point. Here's the other thing. I want you to go to Psalms 3 and 4 with me. Because here in the Bible, when it talks about sleep, and one of the things that keeps us up at night is conflict or a crisis in our life. And as you look at these, I'll just give you an example. When you look at Psalms chapter 3 and 4, here are two chapters that are so interesting, and here's why. In Psalm 3, you can read about it in 2 Samuel. David has a son named Absalom. And think about this. David loves his kids. He's not always the best father, but we know he loves his kids. Okay? David has a son, Absalom, who rebels against him and seeks to overthrow David as king. And for a period of time, by the way, he is successful because David has to leave his palace and flee from Absalom. And Psalm 3 is written when David is in flight from Absalom. And you know something? Verse 5 says this. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me all around. Do you hear that? And one of the most trying moments of David's life, David said, I lay down and I tossed and turned all night. I couldn't go to sleep. No, David said, I lay down and I slept. Why? Because he knew God was with him. It's the same thing in Psalm 4, the next chapter. Psalm 4, you know, what's the conflict? I don't know, but there's a huge conflict in David's life, okay? And he knows in verse 3 that God will hear and answer his prayer and take care of it. And look at verse 4. Notice it says this. Be angry, the Bible says, and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Notice, drop down though and look at verse 8. It says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. There's another crisis in David's life where it's a life-threatening crisis, it appears like. It's a conflict with another person, and somebody wants David dead. Think about that. That's a pretty big conflict. You know what I mean? We all have conflicts in life from time to time, but how many people really want to kill us, right? Well, that's David's situation here. And David says what? I'm going to lay down tonight in verse 8, and I'm going to lay down in peace, and I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to sleep. Why? Because I know God's with me. I know God is with me. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? And here's why. I want you to go back and look Psalm chapter 4, and here's what I want to do. I do want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 here in a second. Because notice here, Psalm 4, all right, and when you look at, when you look at verse, verse 4, there's the phrase there, be angry and do not sin. That phrase is quoted in the New Testament in Ephesians 4:26. You've heard me actually mention that before in sermons. Well, what is anger? Go to Ephesians 4:26. Anger is what? Anger is an emotion. That's what it is. It's an emotion. But anger is an emotion with unmet expectations that we have. Or anger is a response oftentimes of mistreatment, right? And there are many forms of anger, by the way. There are sinful forms of anger, and then there are not sinful forms of anger. And the not sinful forms of anger, sometimes we may call righteous indignation, right? But the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. In other words, it's okay to be angry, but don't sin in the process. What are you angry about, and how do we respond when we're angry is the key thing there of being angry and sinning not, right? But it's not wrong in and of itself at times to be angry, so long as we don't sin. Now, that's a loaded thing, and what does it mean? And, you know, what does it mean to sin when we're angry and all of that? And, you know, Ephesians 4 talks about that a little more, but we're not going to talk about that. But when you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, the Bible says, be angry and do not sin, in quoting Psalm 4:4. But then there's another phrase, though. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, or literally go down on your anger. In other words, some trends paraphrases may say, don't go to bed angry. That's kind of the idea here. Don't go to bed angry. Now, let me ask you something. Why does the Bible say don't go to bed angry? I'll tell you why. How many of you have got a good night's sleep when you're really angry? How many of you might finally fall asleep but wake up at 1:30 in the morning and not go back to sleep because you're angry? That's why one of the reasons, you know, there's a sense where of one of the implications there is God is concerned with us about getting a good night's sleep. Because when we're tired, we're grouchy. When we're tired, we don't make good decisions. When we're tired, nobody wants to be around us, right? You know what I mean? Be angry, but don't sin, but also don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, I have heard, by the way, for years, all my life, I have heard people say, well, that the Bible tells us that anytime you have conflict with somebody, you have to resolve it before you go to bed. That's not a bad idea, but that's also not reasonable, and you and I both know that. You and I both know that it takes two people to resolve a conflict, right? What if the other person doesn't want to resolve conflict? Well, I guess I can't sleep at night. Well, what about David? David wanted to resolve the conflict between his son and a lot of times with people, but yet in spite of the midst of conflict not being solved, David said, I'm going to bed and I'm going to sleep good. Why? Because David was right with God. And David put his trust in the Lord. Do you understand that? And so there is a sense where, you know, I want you all to understand something, church. That when the Bible says, don't go to bed angry, yes, try to resolve the conflict. But you know another thing you do? Before you go to bed, you got to figure out how not to be angry. How do you do that? Well, since you were up, you might as well talk to God in prayer. Since you was up, you might as well open the Bible on your phone like the heathens do. I told the Bible, the kids in class that, like, yeah, you heathens, open your Bible. Now, you don't have a Bible. A Bible is better than the phone. But anyhow, why not study the scriptures on your phone or in a book, right? Since you was already up and you're not going to sleep, why not spend some time with God and talk to Him about what's keeping you awake? Is it a conflict with someone? Why don't you, in the middle of the night, decide to forgive that person, even if they've never apologized? You'll find that you'll be able to sleep pretty well if you do that. Why don't you consider yourself in the conflict and what you did wrong and ask for God for forgiveness? You'll probably find you sleep well when you do that. Why don't you, instead of being enraged with bitterness and having the devil, because notice in the verse, next verse here in Ephesians 4:26, notice it says after that, it says, nor give place to the devil. What's he talking about there? He's talking about in a state of anger. If you just let your mind wander and you don't control your thoughts, you're allowing the devil to come into your mind and control your thoughts and then your actions. Don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your mind and to give yourself pity parties and to give yourself fits of rage and anger and thoughts of revenge and actions of evil. Don't allow it. Allow God to control your thoughts. That's what's being said here. Because if you allow the devil to take hold of you at night, he's going to make sure you stay awake. But if you approach this, and there's so much more we could say about it, but I'm not going to. If you allow God to control your thoughts, you'll get a good night's sleep. There's a sense, by the way, if we look at all these ideas of David and what Paul wrote here and Jesus, you know, can we sleep in the midst of a conflict? Yes, when we put our trust in God. Yes, when we have faith in knowing we're right with God, that even if we were to die, we go to be with God like Peter, we can sleep in the midst of conflict. Let me mention one other. You know, there's another thing in Ecclesiastes 5. Sometimes a lack of sleep is because we worry about our wealth. And I would encourage you to read 10 through 12 of chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, and you'll see that. But let me mention one more, and our final one, so we're going to close out after this. I think one of the biggest things, and I want you to go to Psalm 32 real quickly. It's our last chapter we're going to turn to. I think one of the biggest things that keeps people up at night is a guilty conscience. Sometimes that guilty conscience is in the midst of the conflict, because in a conflict, you know you didn't do everything right. But a guilty conscience is the result of sin. And you know, here's something that's interesting. Just think about this for a moment, okay? Here is David in Psalms 3 and 4 in the midst of a life and death situation and in the midst of a huge family conflict with his own son. And he says, I'm going to bed. And then here is David here in Psalm 32. When he says in verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression or sin is forgiven. Verse 3 talks about what David did, though, before this forgiveness came into his life. He said, when I kept silent, in other words, I knew I sinned, I knew I did wrong, but I didn't do anything about it. He said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. In other words, Sin and a guilty conscience was affecting his health. And it was also, look at verse 4, affecting his sleep. Because it says, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. David was walking around with insomnia, a man who couldn't sleep at night, a man who was miserable in the day. Why? Because he had done wrong, and he just didn't, for whatever reason, want to deal with it. But what did he do? Look at verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. In other words, I went ahead and exposed it. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And notice this, it says, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. There was the solution. The guilty conscience that affected him in every aspect of his life, because he knew he was doing wrong. He knew he was committing a sin. He knew he was living in a sin. He knew he hadn't dealt with the sin. He came to terms with it and recognized that he had done wrong and he needed to do right, and he confessed his sin and God forgave him. And that's what gave him a night's rest. Church, the God that we serve sometimes gives us a guilty conscience. And have you ever stayed up at night with a guilty conscience? That's God getting our attention that there's something wrong in our relationship with Him and we got to address it. That's a good thing. And when we address it, the God that we deserve is not the God that says, hold off till morning, I'm asleep right now. Now you can pray to me at 7 a.m. I don't want to hear it right now. The God that we serve will hear us anytime. And just as soon as He'll hear us anytime, He'll forgive us anytime as well. And I want you to understand something. God designed our bodies to sleep. And I'm not trying to guilt you, because there may be a medical reason why you don't get much sleep at night. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. The Bible does address this. And the Bible does often say that sometimes you're not sleeping, well, you may have a harder time getting sleep as you get older. That's just a known fact. So maybe we should be in tune with that. And, you know, don't drink coffee after 5 o'clock if that's what keeps you up. Or you understand, you know yourself. Maybe it's all those, it could be a crisis or a conflict. That's time to put your trust in God and desire to do His will. Maybe it's we're worrying over wealth that really in the scope of eternity is meaningless. And maybe we should look at it that way. Or maybe it's a sin problem that we're not dealing with. We refuse to deal with. Whatever that is, I hope and pray that when we think about something that we all do every night, right? The way God designed us, maybe we have a little bit of knowledge about what God says about it. You know, if you're here and maybe you're one who's got a lack of sleep because of the fact that you know you're not right with God and you desire to be right with Him, and maybe that starts with becoming one of His followers. If you desire to become a child of God, we certainly welcome that. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you need prayers or help in some form or fashion. We want to help you with that too. Whatever.